Well, good morning. As we seek the biblical way of building His church, we must be mindful of God's desire for His people to be faithful. Surrendering to His will over ours is a display of our faithfulness. As I had said in the previous message, faith is believing put to action through the grace of God given. And faith is observed through the way we live in obedience to God. Today, we are going to learn the very core biblical principle of faith. When we absorb this, we understand how all things are possible for those who believe. And this is what Jesus said, and it is recorded in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. I want us to begin by opening our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read the first six verses there from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read the first six verses. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. And reading through verse 6, hear what the Lord tells us about faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We'll end our reading there for now, and trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Hear his word and allow it to sink deep into your soul. Dear God, please open our ears to hear your word today. Please open our hearts, we pray, to receive your truth deep within us. When we view Christ's church through the pages of Scripture, it's as if we're looking through a window, a spiritual window. That window is framed by God's word. The viewing area is supplied by Almighty God through the power of his Holy Spirit. The view can be unobstructed by time or space because those concepts do not exist with our Creator, only with us. You know, He is here with us. God's Word has existed before us and will exist long after we are gone. It's been present in this land for centuries, and it has survived all across the world for thousands of years. Almighty God is everywhere, always. He is found in His Word, but He's not restricted to His Word. We simply place trust in Him and His Word by believing. He says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Think about that. Faith is the substance and the evidence. It was by faith that the people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 obtained a good testimony. But not only them, all who walk by faith, all who love their Creator faithfully. The just shall live by faith. It's written in Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Do you think for a moment that it's a mistake that shows up four times in the Scripture? four times. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't say they might. It doesn't say they can. It doesn't say they should. It doesn't say it's possible. It says the just shall live by faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Everything that's seen was made by Almighty God, who is invisible to us. By faith, we believe in the unseen which created everything. We believe in the one who creates what is seen. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Cain slew Abel, and yet Abel speaks to us to this very day. His faith calls out through time and the distance from here to the land where he lived. That is the window that we see through Scripture. By faith. And think about this. The first one named, the first one mentioned, is Abel for his faithful giving. By faith, it's written, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And here we have this picture of everlasting life with God. It's beautiful. God will raise us up on the last day, some to everlasting life, and some, unfortunately for them, some to eternal torment. And that can be found in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, Matthew 25, verse 46, and John chapter 5, verse 29. Don't let anybody tell you that there's no such place as hell, because Jesus preached that there was. And then we come to verse 6 in our original passage. And I believe this is the key verse in this message. This is the key verse in this message. Grasp this one, and you are blessed by Almighty God now and forever. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, or that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. May I rephrase this verse to make it as plain as possible? With faith, it is possible to please God, for those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. Please Him with faith. Do you get that? Your faith pleases God. Our faith pleases God. Our collective faith pleases God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he doesn't say practically impossible. He doesn't say probably impossible. He doesn't say nearly impossible. He doesn't say unlikely to please him. He says it's impossible to please God without faith. We must have faith to please God. I believe the most important thing that we see as we look into that biblical window is the use of God's Word as the guidebook of faith for all time. It is the roadmap. It's the eternal GPS for those of us who have such devices. You know what those are. The old timers, they like to use maps. We pull out the map, we unfold it, lay it out, and we look at the map, and we say, here's where we are, here's where we want to go, and how do we get from here to there? In the new age, we're using these global positioning systems that tell us where we are by some tracking device, and then tell us how to get where we're going by sometimes obscure routes. God's Word as the guidebook is the guidebook of faith through all time. It's boundless, and yet it's contained in one volume. It is meaningful for all. It applies to every man, woman, and child that has ever lived, is alive now, and will live in the future. It's written in Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that His people may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture. It doesn't say some Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It doesn't say some Scripture is profitable for doctrine or teaching. It doesn't say some Scripture is usable to reprove people or give correction. It doesn't say that some Scripture is good for instruction in righteousness. It says all. All Scripture. And the message of Christ fills the pages of Scripture. It dominates the creation of His church. It dominates the structure of His church. It dominates the very life of His church and the ongoing eternal nature of Christ's church. As we use His Word, we can find that it is, in fact, the roadmap for all things related to His church. As we peer into that eternal window provided by God's Word, we can see for ourselves the need to keep a watch over His church. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." It's found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. And it's also written, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." That's found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16. Where does that wisdom come from? Where does that type of wisdom come from? Well, the Scripture tells us, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That's found in James chapter 1 and verse 5. Faith and wisdom go together. They're like a team, and they draw us nearer to God. We are guided by the wisdom of God, and we use faith to please God. Paul warned the Ephesians, "For I know this," it's written in Acts chapter 20, verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Here we see a window into the future, when those who profess falsehood would seek to twist the truth to turn God's people from it. "Many come as His followers, seeking to destroy His message." That's an unfortunate reality within the body of Christ. We've seen it right here in this little country church. He calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. They are without faith, without authentic faith, without true faith in the one living, almighty God who carries his people by his Spirit, who raises leaders among his people to serve him. Some water the message down to a powerless state of confusion, while others change it, and sometimes in the slightest ways. But those slight deviations take us far off the mark. And why do they do this? They do it to draw people after themselves away from Christ. The window of Scripture is open for all to look in. He is faithful. He is always faithful. And to gain a clear understanding of what we see, we must ask our Creator to remove any obstructions that we might be carrying. These obstructions might be our own notions that were formed innocently as we grew from children into adults. It might also be human doctrine and traditions that have grown together like vines over the windows. They might also be human doctrine and traditions that have grown together like vines over the window of Scripture. These things obscure our ability to see what God's Word presents, and we see them instead of the pure truth as it occurs. The window of Scripture reveals a clear picture of what Christ's church looks like. It is like Christ. It is faithful to Almighty God. For a deeper understanding of this simple yet profound concept, let's ask for His wisdom. Let us ask for His discernment to receive it. Ask Him to clear our mind of anything that might interfere with receiving the true picture of Christ-like living. I can see the time coming very rapidly when we are living our faith completely engaged in God's Word. This is the picture revealed through the window of Scripture. Christ's followers relate with Almighty God by faith. It is a childlike faith which depends upon God completely, not our own intellect, not our own ability to figure things out, but faith, childlike faith. You think of the children like this little baby here. This child fully and completely depends upon its mother for every bit of its existence. That's the kind of faith that pleases God. When we walk with that kind of trust, oh, it doesn't mean we might not cry once in a while whenever we're hungry. It might not mean that we're not going to be upset whenever we're in need of a diaper change. Those who possess this childlike faith walk by it instead of fear. It is faith that grows into action, that moves His people to love Him deeper and deeper. It is faith that builds trust, which overrides everything and anything else, even savage wolves. Those who possess this childlike faith, as I said, walk by it instead of fear. They engage in relationships with other people to expose their love of God and expand His kingdom. They deliver the message of Christ to others inside and outside of the meeting place. They reveal the message of Christ to others and help them to learn to trust and follow Him. Christ's church is a spiritual dwelling place for God, where those who worship God recognize their need for God in every moment. They teach this inside and outside of their community of faith. Christ's church is connected to Christ by the Holy Spirit, who raises up people who recognize their role and serve God as He leads. This is what the window of Scripture reveals. God's people follow the example of Christ to make disciples of all who come to the river of life that flows from the throne of God. They want none to perish, but like God, desire all to come to the knowledge of the truth. The people of God want God to receive what He bought and paid for with His Son on that Roman cross. They understand their role in the process of collecting what God bought and paid for as they serve as God's messengers. They want others to receive the blessings of God. They want others to be liberated from the bondage to sin. They want others to receive freedom from sin's wages. You know, the wages of sin is death. They want others to receive intimate fellowship with Almighty God and everlasting life with their Creator. I envision the church that meets in this building becoming a spiritual force for God that accepts His loving correction. I can see us knowing the Lord chastens those He loves and accepting the chastening of the Lord, because we know it reveals His love for us. I can see the day when this local church is strong and vibrant in spiritual matters, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And I see the time when God's people work together with the spiritual shepherd of the flock to ensure a pure church, free from willful sinning against Almighty God, whom we love. I envision this local church being one that accepts Christ as the head of the body and the pastor as the servant of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, I see this church becoming a mighty force in the kingdom of God to overcome the forces of evil as it builds Christ's church to draw souls out of the world of darkness into His marvelous light. I see us going to God in prayer before we do anything. I see us asking God what He wants as we pray together to seek Christ's will as the Lord of the church. I see us laying aside self-sufficiency to embrace the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. I see us seeking God as a community first. That's what I see. Will you join me? Will you follow Christ with me? Will you serve Him to the fullest of your ability as He leads us to be a vibrant part of His church universal? I sure hope so. Together, I know we can be those who please Him with faith. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are like so many others, Lord. God, help us to receive Your blessings. God, if there's anybody here who's bound in sin, I ask that You would free them, that You would liberate them from that bondage. Those who are within the sound of my voice, those who hear this message, God, I ask that You would free them from the bondage to sin by faith. I ask, Lord, that You would draw them into intimate fellowship with You, that they might also enjoy everlasting life. I envision the church here that meets in this building being Your spiritual force. God, help us to become that spiritual force that accepts Your loving correction. Help us, Father, work together. Help us, Lord, to ensure a pure church free from willful sinning against You. Help us, Lord, to accept Christ as the head of the body. Guide Yours truly as Your servant, as the pastor here. Guide me with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Remind us to come to You in prayer before we do anything. Remind us to ask You what You want. remind us to seek Christ's will as the Lord of this church. And help us, Lord, to seek you as a community together. Help us to be a vibrant part of your church, I pray, in Jesus' name, that we would be those who please you with faith. Amen. And now we're going to open our hymnals to number 402, Faith is the Victory.